Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Conquering the Spirit of Disobedience podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book Conquering the Spirit of Disobedience. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Each episode will cover a new chapter. In our last episode, we looked at a word to the employers in regard to disobedience. In today's episode, we shall look at a word to the employees in regard to disobedience. An employee or servant is anyone working under the supervision of another person. God loves us all, but we cannot all be leaders. Even the so-called leaders are accountable to others. We are all servants, and the work we do is for God, and we are all accountable to Him. We might look at some of our leaders and think they are not appointed by God because of the way they behave and the way they treat their juniors. God has allowed them to be in those positions for a reason. The Word of God says in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." As servants, we have the responsibility to submit to our leaders, whether they are good or bad. God is the employer, and He's watching. One day, they will be accountable to Him. As we carry out our duties as servants, God is interested in our obedience. When we serve in obedience to His word, some blessings automatically come our way. These blessings are called blessings of obedience. The circumstances we work in might be tough, but our obedience to God is what will deliver us to a better place as servants or employees God wants us to be. How should we walk in obedience as employees? Number one, do our work wholeheartedly because we are doing it for God. It is written in Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Remember, everyone was created for a purpose. Whatever work we do, we are doing it for God. Let us therefore do it to please God. Let us do it happily and cheerfully without complaining, because we shall be rewarded. When we murmur and complain, we are complaining to God. Remember the children of Israel who murmured in the wilderness. They were destroyed and never got the opportunity to see the promised land. It is written in 1 Corinthians 10:10, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Number two, be content with your wages. "And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wage." That is found in Luke 3:14. Let us be thankful in the first place, because there are people who admire the jobs we are doing but cannot get them. We need not compare ourselves with those who are doing better than us. We may not know how they got what they have. Let us learn to be happy with the little we have. As we walk in obedience, God will open another door for us. It is good to stretch our faith and trust in God for something better than what we have. Remember, we have to start somewhere. We should not despise humble beginnings. The Word of God says in Zechariah 4:10, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." Number three, let us not get tired of doing good, for in due time, God will reward us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Let us learn to do good always. We are doing it for God. God is watching our commitment to doing good, and He will reward us. Let us not get tired, but continue being strong for the sake of God, and our work shall be rewarded. 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, "Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." When we work hard to please people, They will only see it and praise us. Do we want praise from people or an everlasting reward from God? Number four, learning to submit to our bosses. They may be treating us harshly, but let us submit to them and respect them and avoid talking evil about them. It is good to obey the rules and regulations that have been put in place. Let us joyfully perform the duties they give us, praying for those who mistreat us, blessing them, and not pray for any evil to befall them. Let us cast our anxieties to God and pray for the grace to work under such harsh leaders until God promotes us to another level. Our bosses might not always be right, but when they talk, let us listen. When they say something that hurts us, let us not answer back. The word of God says, "Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, not to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive." That is found in Titus 2:9. Nothing just happens. Maybe God has put us under such harsh bosses to change us. However much we may be praying for them to be transferred, it might not happen because God is interested in seeing us change. Let us develop patience, perseverance, humility, and gratitude. The word of God says in 1 Peter 2:18, "Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh." Number five, honoring our leaders. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and this doctrine be not blasphemed. That is found in 1 Timothy 6:1. When we honor our leaders, we are honoring God because they are chosen by God. Let us celebrate them, wish them well, appreciate the good things they do, honor them, knowing that even if they do not appreciate, God will reward us. Let us not honor them to get extra favor. Number six, pursuing peace in our workplaces. Let us avoid quarreling with our bosses and workmates. To slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always be gentle towards everyone. That is found in Titus 3:2. Let us be gentle and courteous to everyone and do what is right always. Let us perform our responsibilities as required to remain blameless. When we play our part well, we shall not find ourselves in trouble with our bosses and workmates. Let us pursue peace above everything else. Once we are peaceful, we shall be happy and we will start seeing things positively. It is good to do good all the time, even in the absence of our bosses. The word of God says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." That is found in Philippians 2:12. Number seven, brethren, change is inevitable. Let us accept and embrace change. Not all challenges that come our way are from Satan. God will sometimes allow challenges to come our way to change us. Challenges may cause pain in our hearts, but this helps us to think critically. Our thinking hard will push us to another level. Let us learn to be creative, pursue progress by trying our best to grow and not remain in the same place or level for long. Embrace change. Not employers and employees. We are all special and equal before God. No one is better than the other. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That is found in Galatians 3:28. Whatever we do, we are doing for God, and He will reward us, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall receive good of God, whether he be bond or free. Employers and employees, great blessings are awaiting us if we only obey. I hope you enjoyed this chapter of my book. If you found it helpful, send me a message and let me know. In our next episode, we shall look at the word to the family in regard to disobedience. The first person we shall look at in the family is the husband. Thanks for listening and God bless you. Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Conquering the Spirit of Disobedience podcast. My name is Joy, and I'm also the author of the book Conquering the Spirit of Disobedience. Through this podcast, I'm bringing you the content of my book. Each episode will cover a new chapter. In our previous episode, we looked at a word to the employees in regard to disobedience. Today, we shall look at the family, and the first person in the family we shall look at is the husband. Our God is a God of order. He follows protocol. In a family, most of the issues are handled by a woman. A woman is accountable to the man. The man is accountable to Jesus. And Jesus is accountable to God the Father. The head of every family is a man. When things go wrong in a family, Jesus holds the man accountable. Families make a nation. Therefore, if things go right in families, then we are sure of a great nation full of righteousness. The national leadership, our employers, and employees will have the fear of God too. When families are messed up, we cannot have a healthy nation. A family is made of the father, mother, and children. Father and mother are one flesh, forming the institution of marriage. Then thereafter are blessed with children. Father has a role to play as the head of the family, father to his children and a husband. The woman has the role of wife and mother. Children too have a role to play in the family. When father, mother and children play their roles according to God's manual, the family becomes a blessed family. Families are going through pain and sorrow because of disobedience from the father, mother, and children. We have prisons full of people because biblical rules have been disobeyed and therefore consequences have to fall in place. If only the father, mother, husband, wife, and children can obey God, then we shall have heavenly and healthy families and eventually great nations. Husband. After Adam had named all the animals that God created, he became tired, and God knew it was not good for Adam to be alone. Adam needed a helpmate. The word of God says in Genesis 2:18, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' It is, therefore, the will of God for every man to have a wife. A man was created by God. A woman was made from the man. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." The word of God says in Genesis 2:23, "And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.' Every married man has therefore a suitable and sweet mate. A woman is the helper of a man and not a slave. A woman is to help man function well in his roles as a husband and father. A woman deals with many things around her. She can multitask. A woman sees ahead, she plans things, and remembers most of the things in detail. A smart husband needs to listen to his wife because a woman has most of the details on her fingertips. Women are referred to as weaker vessels. The word of God says in 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. She is considered a weak vessel, maybe because she was made from the bones and flesh of man. However, it is so interesting how a woman operates. She works tirelessly to make sure everything in the home is in order. A husband is advised, therefore, to deal with his wife with honor and respect, because she is one flesh with him. The husband is encouraged to treat his wife well, so that his prayers are answered. Before husband goes before the Lord in prayer, it is better if he evaluates his relationship with the wife so that his prayers are not a waste of time. If he wants to enjoy favor in everything he does, whether when attending that interview, in his business or place of work, he needs to treat his wife with honor. As husband needs to honor his wife by loving her, just as Jesus loves a man as his church. That is how he expects a man to love his wife. The word of God says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The husband needs to love his wife the way he loves his own body. The word of God says in Ephesians 5:28, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No man hates his body. The word of God says in Ephesians 5:29, no man hates his body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. It is therefore the sole duty of a man to love his wife. Ephesians 5:33 says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. A husband to love his wife is a command from God and not a request. The husband is advised that being bitter with his wife, treating her harshly, beating her and not caring for her and not providing for her is wrong. The husband and his wife are one flesh. He needs to treat her with love, honor, and respect. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter against them. The husband is called upon by God to leave his father and mother and join his wife and become one flesh. It is written in Genesis 2:24. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife and they become one flesh. Leaving his father and mother does not mean he stops loving his parents and siblings. God is calling him to greater responsibility. His father and mother became one flesh and together took the responsibility of bringing him up so that God's purpose for his life would be accomplished. The wife has already left her home. She has even inherited her husband's name. His home has now become her home. The husband needs to shift his mind from being under the care of his parents to start his own family. Young men need to bond with their wives in the first years of marriage. Two people becoming one flesh may not be easy. A husband will have to disagree and agree until he gets used to the wife and accept her the way she is. We thank God for careers, jobs and businesses, but having a wedding on Saturday and going back to work on Monday is not in order. A husband needs to take time to be alone with the bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh in the first years of marriage. It is written in Deuteronomy 24:5, when a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war, neither shall he be charged with any business, but he shall be free at home 1 year and shall cheer up his wife, which he has taken. The being together of a husband and his wife will develop and strengthen their relationship. It might look like a waste of time away from work and business, but it's a great investment in marriage. Once a man and a wife get married to become one flesh, none has ownership over his own body. The wife's body belongs to her husband, and the husband's body belongs to his wife. As much as the husband is free to make demands for his sexual needs to be met, his wife also has the privilege of making demands for her sexual needs to be met. 1 Corinthians 7:4. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. A husband needs to honor his wife by remaining faithful to her. Unfaithfulness defiles marriage, and where there is defilement, the presence of God cannot stay. The word of God says in Hebrews 13:4, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." The husband should allow only his wife to satisfy his sexual needs. Once he loves and honors his wife, he will rejoice as she ravishes him with her love. The word of God says, "Drink water from your cistern, running water from your well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares, let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth, a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be intoxicated with her love." That is found in Proverbs 5:15-19. A husband may have tried his best to love his wife, but she does not reciprocate. However, what does it mean to love a wife, oh dear husband? Number one, be patient with your wife. Be kind to your wife. Do not envy your wife. Do not belittle your wife. Do not act with pride before your wife. Honor your wife. Deny yourself for your wife. Forgive your wife always. Rejoice with the truth concerning your wife. Protect your wife. Trust your wife. Be hopeful in your wife. Persevere with your wife. Do not get tired of loving your wife. This is found in 1 Corinthians 3:1-8. Husband, it may not be easy. However, where there is a will, there is a way. If you're willing to obey, God's grace is sufficient. Great blessings are waiting for you. I hope you enjoyed this chapter of my book. If you found it helpful, please send me a message and let me know. In our next episode, we shall look at a word to the wife in regard to disobedience. Thank you for listening.